appreciate you guys. Thanks for being flexible about that stuff.
I want to play what you want to hear.
And I mean, see, and you know, it means something. It means something to me. It means something to you. I just,
that's where I want to be.
We're grateful for your presence in the Lord's house today. I appreciate you being here. If you're visiting, we're glad you're here. We do have Vanessa's mother and dad with us this morning. We're grateful for their presence, and each of you, we're glad you're here. May the Lord bless you for coming. Trust the Lord to help us today in our services. Let's stand to our feet. Our ushers will come. We'll get a morning tithes and offering. We'll proceed with our services. Brother Jeff, you bless the offering, please.
Thank you.
All right, many prayer needs today. I know you have burdens and needs in your life, concerns for your family and people, and they are important. The Lord knows about them, but we need to seek His help, His mercy, His grace, His blessing in their behalf today. Those that you know are struggling, suffering, have different problems, make sure you take time to say a sincere prayer in their behalf today. Let's look to the Lord. Father, thank you for the day today. Thank you for loving us and being good to us. Lord God, we have failed you miserably, and we know it. But I'm glad you're God is so rich in mercy and grace. And we thank you, Father, for your mercy. I pray that you'd help us today to honor the Lord Jesus, and that you'd be glorified, that you'd be praised. I pray for your church, Lord. I pray that the church of the living God could be fervent today, and we could reach souls, we could do the work of God. Help me, Father. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, give us wisdom. Give us direction. Help us, Lord. I pray for our dear people that are suffering today. I pray for those that have problems in their homes. Please encourage them, help them. There are folks that have family members that are so far, far away from God. There's so much problem, and I pray to help these dear people. Lord, give them grace, give them courage. Please, please help them. Father, I pray for those that are dealing with cancers and other terrible health problems today. Would you touch them? Would you bless them? And would you help them today? Lord, bless this meeting. May it be a meeting that the church could be helped, the people of God could be strengthened, that good things could happen that would come forth to the glory of Christ. Help us, Lord, today. Bless your people. Thank you for the people of God. Let us be sensitive to the needs of others today. Help us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our children will come. Time for a change, Mark. What about it? Come on, children, please. Thank you. We're in chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16. Verse 1. Romans 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is a that you receive her in the Lord. And it's been a while. And I told my wife, I was driving, and I said, write this down. And very simple thought, but the thought that I had was a servant of the church. A servant of the church. And I began the other day to think about what I was going to preach in my devotion studies. I've been reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. So last evening I got on my knees and prayed, and I said, Lord, what do I need to preach? And man, it came so clear on my mind. Hadn't thought of it but so much, but it came so clear that I was to study and preach on this thought, a servant of the church. A servant of the church. Don't find that a lot in the Bible. In fact, as far as I know, this only reference I find, a servant of the church. And I didn't realize it, but you know what we have here? We have a lady that is mentioned as a servant of the church. Well, I began to study that, and I'm going to deal with that in a few minutes, and that'll probably be my last point in the message. But Romans chapter 16 is the closing chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. And I missed it somewhere, I suppose, but I was not aware that Phoebe was the one that had carried this epistle to the Romans, to them. So what an important task, what a great honor it was for this lady to be involved in the ministry and the help of Paul. Now, let me say some things and we'll come back to this, all right? Romans 16 is a very interesting chapter. In this chapter, Paul greeted at least 26 people. And of those 26, there were two of those, he greeted their entire household. I'm glad for individuals that are outstanding in their service for the Lord. But I'm glad for families that are outstanding in their service for the Lord. Paul greeted 26 people, and he closed his greetings with 9 believers that were with him in Corinth as he sent out this epistle. So Paul was not only a soul winner, Paul was a friend maker. Warren Wiersbe said that in reading Christian biographies, that he had discovered that the servants whom God had used most were people that could make friends and had made friends. And I'll be honest with you today, I am what I am today because of the grace of God as well as the friends and people that God has put around me in my life. Thank God for friends and people. Marcus will be preaching tonight, Lord willing. We have Marcus and other preachers in our church. And I would assure them today that there are people that they can come in contact with in their lives. And if they'll make friends with them, it'll be a real blessing to their ministry and in their lives. You'll have enough enemies without making them on purpose. So make friends wherever you can make friends. It's really good to have friends like Phoebe because I'm pretty well convinced that she's a woman of means. The reason I say that, Paul encouraged the Roman believers to receive her in the Lord and to help her in what business that she was involved in. Now, whether that be church business or secular business, whatever the proper term would be, I'm not real sure. But I'm telling you, for a person to be able to travel, to be able to help, to be able to minister, here is capability and here is a woman of means. Thank God for simple people. People that are just who they are and what they are. But could I say today, thank God for some people that are people of means. Don't chalk people off because they are on a higher level of status, so to speak. Somebody said we're all just, no, we're not all just alike. In fact, God didn't create all of us equal. I'm telling you right now, one old boy said, you know, you talk about having 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. He said, we had 2 bedrooms and a path. Amen. That's right. Hey, we're not all created equal. We're not all born equal. But I'm going to tell you what I found. I found some people that was born in a little bit different class than what I was born in. But praise God, they love Jesus and it can be a real blessing and can help you in your life. Amen. I'm preaching stuff you probably don't appreciate. It's good to have friends, but it's really good to have friends that can help you when you get in time of need. Amen. That's page 1. Let's go to page 2. 3 things said about this woman. She, first of all, she's a sister. Praise God. That's a spiritual relationship. Now, I had 2 sisters.
One of them has passed and gone to be with the Lord. I still have one sister, a biological sister, and I tell you, that is a relationship. We are related because of our parents, my father, her father, our father. That's a relationship. Today, we have a relationship because we're the children of God. It's a term, a spiritual relationship. This relationship is based upon the redemption of Christ and the regeneration work of the Holy Spirit. God has saved us all. God has brought us into His family. And I say today, apart from natural relationship, no woman shares this experience of being my sister unless she's been saved by grace. We are made by the new birth, the grace of God, members of one family. Now, very little is known about Phoebe. We do not know when she became a Christian. And we don't know much about her, really, except what we have in this verse. But there is an evident manifestation that she was a sister. She had that sisterly love and her labors among her sisters and brothers in Christ is there. You can see how she ministered not only to others, but Paul said, to his needs also. Who knows the time of sickness it may have been. It may have been a time of no doubt of his struggles, but Paul was helped. Thank God for women that God uses. I love to consider the fact that you ladies are my sisters in the Lord. That's a scriptural fact and truth. Don't overlook that. Appreciate the family of God. In years gone by, we have sang the song. You may notice we say brother and sister around here, and it's because we're a family, and these folk are so dear. It ought to be that way. We're a family. We ought to act like family. We ought to treat each other like family. We ought to love each other like family. And those ladies and folk that serve the Lord so faithfully, we ought to be appreciative of them today. Not only was she a sister, but this word is a little hard for me to pronounce. I looked it up, tried to see a correct pronunciation. A succorer, a helper. And really, it's one that stands by in case of need. And can I say today, we all have a time of need. Whoa, and sad to that individual that has to live alone. Oh, my, the person that really feels like I have nobody to help me. Thank God for those that stand by in case of need. That's what this dear sister was. I understand this word that I've tried to pronounce correctly. In its classical Greek, it describes a trainee or trainer in the Olympic Games that stood by the athletes and they properly trained them and they rightly guided them. So when they lined up, they'd be ready to line up when a signal's given. Thank God for people that'll stand by. I've had people to say before, preacher, we're behind you. But the thing of it is, I'm not real sure just exactly how far back yonder they were when they said they were behind me. It's a whole lot different to be behind you than to be one that stands beside you. And that's what this lady was to the church, to the man of God. She was one not back under somewhere behind, but standing there beside you. You men know, we men are a lot of times try to be hard when we're not hard. We try to be strong when we're not really strong. A lot of times we just really need somebody to stand beside us. And it's a blessing when you're going through hardships, when you're dealing with difficulty. For instance, when you're burying your mother, when you're burying your father, when you're having hard times in your life. Neighbor, it is so great to know you've got somebody that'll stand right there beside you, your companion. Amen. That's what this lady was to them, one that stood beside. Hey, could I say today, people that stand for truth needs support. People that stand for the Lord needs support. Every gospel preacher needs support. Every teacher needs support. Every missionary needs support. Young people who are trying to serve the Lord need support. If God calls a young man to preach, I'll guarantee you, if he'll look to the Lord, he'll make it. Amen. That's right. I promise you, God calls him. He looks to God through all the opposition and all the trials. If he'll look to Christ, he'll make it. But I tell you right now, he'll make it a whole lot better if he's got somebody to stand beside him. Every preacher needs a good woman to stand beside him. Amen. I thought of this when I was studying. And I think about Exodus 17. The people of God had their enemy, Amalek, had gathered around them. And they were fixing to have war. And Moses said to Joshua, this is the first time Joshua was mentioned in the Bible. But Moses said to Joshua, in essence, get your army of men together and you go against them. And the story is that when Moses, the man of God, held up his hands, Israel prevailed. But when Moses, the man of God, his hands were heavy. And when his hands got heavy, he'd have to hang them down. And then Amalek would prevail. And they set Moses, the man of God, on a stone. Amen. What about that? They set Moses, the man of God, on a stone. They set Moses, the man of God, on a stone. Amen. I'm telling you today, Moses, pretty strong fella. I mean, he's the man that can the waters part. He's the man that, and the rock gurgles forth water. But I don't care who the man of God is, how big his congregation is. I don't care who the man of God is, the man of God's hands get heavy. And the man of God needs somebody to hold up his hand. I didn't have any intention of doing this. And I've thought about it about three times. But I'm telling you, the man of God's hands get heavy. Thank God for folk that'll help. Ben Marcus, Mr. Spencer. The man of God, the servant of Christ, their hands get heavy. They need somebody to hold up their hands. They need somebody to strengthen them. Amen? Are you with me today? You boys ain't doing a very good job. Don't turn me over. Amen. Have you got what I'm trying to say to you today? You can sit down, boys. That's pretty simple and easy. But did I not? I done okay, didn't I? I'm just telling you, folks. Here's a woman. Here's a lady. We know very little. But we do know one thing. She was standing by in case there was a need. You need to stand by the man of God and the work of God. No, I'm not perfect. A lot of folks think, well, why don't the preacher do this? And why don't the preacher do that? I'm telling you, God didn't call me to be a referee. God called me to be the coach. In fact, the church ain't supposed to be a fight and a wrestling match. No way. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you. I talked with the general manager of the company that I worked for this past week. And we're in a transition at the workplace now. And this guy that is fixed to be our new manager and boss is a guy that's been with us 6-7 years. And he's a young man. And I told him I'd do all I could to help him, and I've got to live up to that. But John Walker said he's got to have a second man. He's got to have a second man. And I know I'm not qualified. I'm not capable to be the second man. So forget it. But here's what John Walker said to me, and I'll probably never forget it. He says, in essence, he didn't say it in these words, I understand that you've got to have a chain of order. And that's true. Do you agree with that, Keith? You're a businessman. George, you've been a businessman. There is a chain of order. But John Walker said this, I believe more in teamwork than I do this thing of hierarchy. That made a lot of sense to me. Could I say to you today, are we not supposed to be in this thing as teamwork? Right. Amen. I'm not trying to boss you around. I'm just trying to lead us in the things of God to get us where God wants us to go. And up to this point, we're here. But I'm telling you today, friend, you just got to have some folk that will stay with the work of God and be those that will just stand by and help when that help is needed. Last point. Not only was she a sister and a helper, one to stand by, but she was a servant of the church. Now, I don't have any axes to grind. I'm not aggravated. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm just preaching truth today. But I'm going to tell you, you're looking at a preacher that believes in the local church. Somebody says, well, I don't really belong to a church. Why not? I do understand there is a truth that there is a church, some call it invisible, but I'm here to tell you, God's church is not invisible. There is no invisible church. There is the body of Christ that makes up all believers, all that are saved, been baptized by the Holy Spirit into that one body. That is a truth, and that's called the church, the General Assembly. That's what it's called in the Bible. General assembly. But I was made aware, I've studied this thing before, but I was made aware as I got me a concordance and began to look, I'm talking about she was a servant of the church. What church? Which is at Cenchrea. That was a port town of Corinth. Probably she had got saved under Paul's ministry at Corinth. There was a church here. Now there's no letter in our New Testament to the church at Cenchrea, but I'm going to tell you that's where her church was located at. I could tell folk where my church is located at. Did you know the word church in its plural form, not singular, but churches, churches, churches. 37 times in the Bible you find the word church, churches, in its plural form. I didn't count them in its singular, but you think about it, the church of Corinth. And on and on and on. Go to Revelation, there was the seven in Asia. You see, the church is a people. A called out assembly. The Old Testament word was a convocation. This day shall be a holy convocation. It means an assembly by a summons. You say, well, there wasn't nobody called me and told me to come. You got a Bible, ain't you? Have you read in it that it said, and forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together? That's the summons. There has been a summons to come to church. That's right. Amen. Now, she's a servant of the church. I'm trying to wrap this thing up. Thank God for servants of the church. I don't like to start calling names and saying this and doing this. It's a servant of the church. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. I read last night that there are those that feel like that the King James Bible discriminates Phoebe by not saying that she was a deacon. Because the word that is translated servant there, that word is translated deacon in other places. It's a matter of wording, but I'm going to tell you, there were servants. And then there were those that filled an office of the deacon. And the word deaconess or a female deacon is not in the Bible. You're listening today. I ain't never ordained many deacons, men deacons. I believe in them. It's a matter of title. Did you know that's what people's interested in? Gotta have a title. I gotta have a title. I'm a sister. I'm CEO. I'm vice president. Title. Man, I gotta have a title. Well, I'm gonna tell you, it's not a discrimination against me or you or anyone else to be a servant of the church. I've lived my life of 50 years of being a servant of the church. Many of you have lived your life being a servant of the church. Here's a man been in church Sammy's 80-something. He's been in church since he's in his 20s. He's built church buildings. He helped build his church building. Sammy is a dear brother that's limited in education, but my, how God is blessed, just a servant of the church. Betty has been a servant of the church. I look out across this congregation. No, you never carried a title, but you're a servant. That's all a deacon is a servant. Thank God for the deacons of this church. Would you stand if you're able? Brother John is crippled. Stand up, Brother Jane. Brother Baker, stand up. Did you know what these guys are? They wasn't ordained. Emory Heights didn't ordain these men to call preachers and vote on preachers and run off preachers. You know what makes this church the church it is? You fellas can be seated. But what makes this church what it is not so much the preacher in the pulpit, but it's these folk that know how a church is to function. These men, Johnny, James, Eugene, have been men that have served this church. That's what it's all about. Forget the title. Find you something to do. Get you a rake, a leaf blower, a lawn mower, a broom, and get busy for God. That makes sense to you? Amen. I'm about done. But we get hung up on terms and words and phrases and titles. And a lot of times we like to try to make things not sound so harsh. But you know what a janitor is? Mm-hmm. Did you know a custodian is the same thing, man? He's got the same broom. He's just got a little title that sounds a little bit better. Forget the title, man, will you? I mean, it's how much you're getting out of it. What God's a blessing you, amen? Who cares what the title is? Man, if you get a paycheck every week, praise God, I'd rather sweep floors for $30 an hour. Yeah. Amen. As to sell cars for 50 or 20, I mean. Amen. Hey, are you with me? Yeah. The title, words. Shame on them for picking on a King James Bible. Praise God, that's what we are, servants. You know, we talk about so-and-so passed away. That just don't hardly sound as harsh and bad as dying. Same thing. And I'm going to tell you, when you pass away, you're going to die. It ain't going to be long till you're going to be forgotten, gone, and dead. And it's over with, sweetheart. Whether it's pass away or die, it's over with. And praise God, I'm just glad to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thrilled to death just to be a servant of the church. Somebody says, well, I'm not really associated. Well, I am. I'm closing these remarks. You've heard me tell it 100 times. Let me tell it one more time, please. I made a profession of faith when I was a kid. I don't know how I missed it. I think I was sincere, but somehow I missed it. I don't know how I missed it, but I missed it. My daddy tried, and he was a man of few words, but my daddy tried time and then again. He did try to get me to be baptized, and I wasn't interested. It didn't mean nothing to me. But I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved when I was 18 years old, it wasn't many days till I joined the church and I got baptized. And you know what? I've always been a church member somewhere ever since then. I tell you what I'd do today. If I left this church today, I'd find me a church to be a part of. And I may not be able to go all the time. And I might be here and there at times trying to preach and do what I felt like. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a cinnamon tree for every possum. Amen. You with me? You know, best thing folk do? Forget your title, recognition. I'm just going to serve the church. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I'm done. We'll serve the church. I'm honest with you. I'm honest with you. I'm not lying to you. When I exit this building on Sunday and there's a piece of paper laying in the vestibule, I have a hard time not picking it up. I'm not lying to you. I have a hard time not picking it up. I'm just saying today, oh, preacher, yeah, we've got service. We've got people that do a lot of things. We've got a choir. A lot of churches don't even have a choir. They ain't got enough people to have a choir. A lot of them don't believe in a choir, but I believe in a choir. I believe in men singers and women singers in Bible terms. Amen? We've got youth ministries. We've got outreach ministries. And we've got different people that have headed these things up and different people that serve in these capacities. The Lord said, pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. The application, I'm sorry, the job description is not foremans and supervisors, but the job description is pray that he'd send forth laborers. Just a laborer. Just a servant of Jesus Christ and a servant of the church. A servant that keeps the church going. A servant that keeps the ministries going. People that keep the light bill paid. People that has the mission offering going forth. I'm talking about a servant. I read it to you. A servant of the church. Don't send your money to somebody that's building a kingdom on their own and glorying in all that they've got. Work through the church. Serve the church. I wonder today, what could you do to be a better servant of this church? What could you do to make this church a better church? Why don't you come today and say, dear Lord, I want you to touch my heart and my life. And I want my church to be a better church. And I want to do what I can to make this church a better church. What about it? Present yourself. Let God use you. Let God bless you. Hey, I'm not talking about superintendents, laborers. Folk get their hand dirty. Folk that'll put some effort to it. What about it? What about it? What about it? Father, thank you for these dear men that have come. Speak to the hearts of others. Let them surrender their lives to the service of the church. And in so doing, that's God's church, and they're surrendering unto Him. Bless now the remainder of the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're standing, singing. Others want to come. Others want to come.
Number 377. I encourage you to look at the words of this one.
Bless Brother James Bullard. Bless
word for the night is coming.
Help folk.
Work through God, help the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling.
Help our folk today.
Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done.
Thank you for coming, listening. You that responded, thank you so much. Our prayers for you. A lot I could say. Thank you for your support, your help. Thank you. Well, the church, you know, can always, always use good service, good people. People that'll work, people that'll go, people that'll give. Always. It's amazing. Amazing. It's amazing what you folk, God has allowed you to do in these years at Emory High. God bless you. All right, Brother Ronnie wants to have a meeting with the Awana leaders following the service this morning.